It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Everybody, welcome to the press. I'm Ryan Ballengee. Good to have you here with us. It's the time of the week where we make our predictions and give you the bets that I have in hand or that I'm going to make today. They're all in hand, and frankly, they're more than usual this week. Typically, I would bet a PGA Tour event with four or five guys, something like that, and feel pretty good about it. This week, I have gone beyond that to seven guys. And I did that in an effort to have kind of micro stakes, relatively small stakes on a few guys that are a little deeper shots. I find that the Sony Open in Hawaii is a really difficult tournament to handicap because when you're looking for winners to start the year, you know some things about this tournament, and we've been over them this week. You know that you probably have played the week before in Kapalua. 17 of the last 24 winners did that. We know the increasing trend that you probably won in the fall. Five of the last eight winners have won in the fall. However, we also know older players, ones outside their 20s at least, tend to win this event, but that's not universally true. And we also know that the longest hitters tend to not do well in this course. We also know the players with strong short games, great ball striking, get the job done here. So when you run into guys like some of the guys I'm going to mention in the show today that I've put a little bit of money on, that they're younger, but they're quality players, or at least they've shown the quality ball striking that leads me to believe they're worth a flyer. And those guys are in the 50-60 range, somewhere in that space, if not a little bit deeper. And then through in one kind of super deep shot is more of a, hey, this would be really cool if I have this ticket kind of thing. But obviously some main plays are the goal here, and those are the ones that I am kind of betting at my normal units for a PGA Tour event any week of the year, much less the first one. First full field one of calendar 2023. So that all said, let's go over what we've got. I want to rehash what we did for first round leader bets, just in case you didn't listen to that episode where we went over the model results and the folks that I went in on for first round leader plays. I took Adam Svensson as a first round leader play. These are all $10 or $15 wagers, so we're not talking big stakes here. I typically bet four or five times that amount for a win bet for a guy I feel confident in. So we're just trying to kind of play with these numbers in the first round leader model that I've developed and really started using last week, started experimenting with in the fall, but really started using last week. And we're just going to play around with low dollar amounts. And I think it's going to stay that way, even if I feel like the model works well, because there is so much variability in the first round market that it's hard to predict, obviously. And also it's a little juicy. So you feel like maybe you get a lot for a little in this market. And if for whatever reason, I get hyper-aggressive and feel like the model is crushing it, okay, maybe we'll increase it to a $20, $25 bet. But right now, I feel comfortable in this $10, $15 range for these bets. So Adam Svensson, 55-1, leader after round one. He has crushed it here the last 2 years in the first round. He's gained more than 12 strokes, almost 13 strokes, I think. Actually, 13.2 strokes on the field in the first round in 2 years. There's nothing not to like about that. I mean, that's not even close to anybody else's average over the last 4 years. So you kind of have to like that, even if you don't have years for three and four with Adam Svensson. I also have him to win the tournament. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but I also have him to win the tournament. First bet of place this week because of a great tip from Chris Murphy at Action Network, who pointed out that Svensson was 100-1 at points bet. I took him with, it was just a minor bet, 10 bucks like this one. And the first round bet's actually 15 bucks. But if he wins at 100-1, hey, I'll take $1,000. And the little bit of exploitation of the market. If you find him today in the market, 55, 65, depending on where you're looking. So I got some value there, took it, and then just kind of stuck with it. Other first round leader bets, Tom Kim at 26 to 1. He rates out really well in the first round leader model. It makes a lot of sense. He's one of the hottest players on the planet. He tends to get off to a hot start anyway, so he tends to gain strokes in the first round pretty substantially, and that works out pretty well for him. Also, he's 26 to 1. His model, his number to win the tournament is right now 10. So obviously there's variability in the market, and we know that. But for a number of these players that I like, a couple of the others that I have for first small first round leader bets on, they're about the same dollar figure or same multiplier, the same price to win as they are for the first round. So, you know, would you rather them in one round if you don't think they're going to win the tournament? Okay, I can see that rationale. But with Tom Kim, you're getting a multiplier of 2.6 on his full tournament price. And yes, I know it's harder to win a 72-hole tournament than to do well in one round, but Tom Kim starts hot. So I'm going to take that price and hope that that's pretty good. And if he hits, even at a fraction, I'm paying for most of my bets for the week, which we did last week with John Rahm in the first round leader market. Siwoo Kim, I have it 45 to 1 to be a leader after round one. If you look at his first round numbers the last several years at this tournament, they're good. There are also some absolute clunkers in prior years, earlier in his career, but recently has been doing well. And recently had some life events, good life events happening, and we always like that. We always talk about kind of being on cloud nine when you're either newly married or a dad or engaged or, you know, those types of things. I love it. Sounds good. Will Gordon, I wound up firing on for the first round leader bet, 55 to 1. He rates out really well. He's number one in the model that I put together. Again, it's experimental, but that he's number one in that model. Tends to gain strokes early, is playing good golf overall. Played great the back end of the fall. No reason not to really like that combination of things. He doesn't have a great track record in this tournament specifically, which could be a concern, but that's maybe why you get that 55 to 1 number on him. Then we're going to get into our outright plays. Again, the outright plays here, a bunch of longer shots. So we'll go over the longer shots first, and then we'll get into kind of the main plays. The longer shots of, you know, 60, 80, 100, 150 plays, those guys are smaller units. If they hit, cool. If not, then hopefully the main plays get there. So, smaller plays. David Lingmerth, 150 to 1. Played really great in the fall. Played great in venues where they're coastal. Obviously, that's common in the fall, or has been historically. Coastal venues, susceptible to wind. Bermuda, played well. He really played well throughout the final three, four events of the fall. That doesn't mean he's going to win, and his course record here is not very good. In fact, it's downright crappy. But at 150 to 1, if some kind of weird thing happens, I'm going to be there to clean up with a small bet. $10 bet. If it hits, $1,510. Lovely. If it doesn't, it's 10 bucks. If he stinks right away, I'll probably just cash it out and chalk it up to losing $5 or $7, and we'll live with it. Next guy, Adam Svensson. At 100 to 1, we talked about that earlier, $10 wager. If it hits, lovely. We exploited the market. I don't expect him to win, but if he does, we like that a lot. Will Gordon, I also decided to go with at 80 to 1, $15 bet. If he hits, awesome. He's a younger guy, doesn't have a great track record in this tournament yet. That can develop over time as you learn to play this golf course. Also, there is some longer rough this week from what I understand. So if you're growing the rough out a little bit, maybe that puts an increased accuracy on driving and iron play. It also is going to place more pressure on these guys' short games. This golf course demands a lot of your short games. It is, if you miss greens, and really relative to other courses on the PGA Tour, course fit demands a lot more of your short game here than pretty much anywhere else on the tour. I mean, maybe think about like a harbor town in that regard. If you miss the green, you need a good short game, and you're going to struggle because where you can miss on a lot of these smaller putting surfaces leaves you almost no chance to get up and down effectively without being totally on point. So important to keep in mind that those changes and the nature of this golf course. That all said, Will Gordon's playing well. I'm willing to roll with him for 10 or 15 bucks. Then we start to get into kind of the main plays for the week, and I have four of them. Everyone else is just kind of a, hey, this is a nice-to-have ticket. The main plays, let's start at the deepest shot that I've got. Alex Smalley, 45-1. I put $25 on him. And I did that, again, looking at what he did in the fall. Closed out really well. The noted caveat here, one, he doesn't really have a track record on this golf course. And two, it's a little bit different when you take a month and a half break from your great golf. Will that carry over, or will he just kind of fall flat? That's one of those bets I'm going to look at really quickly once he gets going and try to get a sense of whether there's any kind of carryover or there's none. And if there's none, bail out quickly. And again, I'm willing to kind of do that to kind of salvage some bankroll and some bad bets, which is something to keep in mind, especially on a Thursday. Really look at it on a Thursday. Maybe a Friday, but especially on a Thursday. If you guys throwing up a clunker, get out of there right away. You're not going to win this tournament if you don't gain strokes in the first round. It's just not going to happen. This is a go-low tournament. This isn't one of those where you could have a mediocre or even not great first round and still find your way back in the tournament. It's like Kapalua. If you have a bad round, just goodbye. Forget it. It's over. So that's something you have to be really mindful of this week. There are other weeks where that's not the case, where you could kind of sit on it Thursday, maybe play into it Friday, and your guy can come back. This is not one of those tournaments, in my opinion. Cameron Davis, 30-1, $50 on him. I waffled on him so much on wagering on him. He rates out well in the model. That's a good number. It's not the best of the number. I've seen it at 40. Other people get it at 40. I probably should have jumped on it sooner, but I waffled on him, and this is the end result. He played very, very well in Australia. He's kind of inconsistent, but this is a golf course that should work out really well. He's striking the ball really well. Should hit a lot of greens. This is the kind of golf course that he can win on. And his past win is on a Golden Age golf course too. So I'm willing to work with that at 29-1. Now the two other higher end bets, I didn't take anyone shorter than 21. I just couldn't get there with Brian Harman. I think he can do it, but I just couldn't get there at the price he had gotten to by the time I decided to go for it. It was 16. Some places he was in 14. I can't do that for a guy who wins so rarely. It's just not worth it. I also couldn't do it with Spieth. I think he'll win this tournament someday if he continues to patronize it, but it's so hard to like him as a driver of the golf ball on a course where you got to drive the ball well, especially with the increased rough. It's just not who he is. I don't care what changes he's made. It's just not who he is. And then I couldn't get there with Tom Kim, 10-1, 12-1. That's just too short. And if he wins, kudos to you. I couldn't do it last week with Rahm. I got it in play and got lucky. He had a better number than where he was to start the tournament. That will probably not happen this week if Tom Kim wins. But I couldn't get there with Sanjay either, but I would authorize either of those bets if you'd like them. I just didn't think they were the right price for me. Even though they did rate out tops in my model, I just couldn't get there with them. So the two guys I have left, Corey Connors at 22-1, makes a whole lot of sense to me. He is a great ball striker, rates second in my model. He's not priced like the second guy. He has a good course history here. You can see him really doing well and maybe being in it on Sunday. So I'm willing to go there with him. And I decided to go with Russell Henley at 21-1. And both those bets are $40 bets. And I did that because I think Henley makes sense from being a past winner here. He has evolved as a player in that decade since. He has become a better player. He's a guy who just consistently gains strokes. And I think something really interesting to point out about Henley was he had one of his best years ever, if not his best year ever last year, while not being as great of a putter as he has historically been. He tends to putt this course well. He can get better as a putter. He could get hot this week and still carry over the ball striking and make it look pretty easy. So I'm willing to go with him on that. So that's a lot of wagers. I typically don't wager this much. I decided to kind of change my strategy this week to go with a bunch of guys at smaller numbers, smaller stakes, because they are not the guys that I like. Not knowing anything about if I didn't know anything about the tournament, if I didn't know anything about the makeup of the winners, these would be guys you would like. And if you didn't know anything about kind of the trends around playing Kapalua the week before and having won in the fall, you would like these guys. But they're young and they haven't won. So I decided to kind of put them on a smaller stake to have more of them, spread out my budget a little bit more, and if it hits, you get a nice payout. If the top-end guys come together that rate out the top of my model and they do well, lovely. But there are also a bunch of guys at the top of my model that have historically not played this golf course that well or just downright poorly, and I had to stay away from them. I think about Billy Horschel. Think about Keegan Bradley. Those guys have done okay in the past, but they also throw up some absolute stinkers. And so I was kind of not willing to go with them. So once we get to the Amex, it's probably going to be a similar strategy because you're going to have multi-course rotation. You got to be able to go low. If you have one bad round, the tournament is over to win it. And you kind of have perfect conditions to play. So if you tend to look at the history of that tournament, you often get winners that they're just kind of longer shots. They're 50, 70, 5-1 kind of guys that can win out there, and you have to be willing to kind of pounce on some ball strikers out there. So if you do well this week, may want to sprinkle a little bit more instead of these micro bets, a little bit more aggressively on those longer shots next week, because I think there's a good opportunity for that to happen in these couple of tournaments. And then we'll get into the rest of the West Coast swing, where quality is probably going to prevail. But then again, Luke List, Farmers last year, and finally came through after 200 some odd PGA Tour starts to win a tournament at what he was 75-1. And it's one of those bets that you probably wouldn't make if you knew Luke List and you knew the model, unless you wanted to put a micro stake on him. So we'll experiment with that a little bit. But I do like having the idea of having more guys this week to just compete against the full field with a lot of unknowns and guys that are kind of overpriced or at the top of the board for a couple of different reasons. So that's what we're going to go with. Hopefully it all works out. Hopefully everyone loves it. And we all come out super profitable. And if not, hey, it is what it is. I mean, some weeks you're not going to win. But last week wound up just about even and wound up not getting there with Sungjae or Tony Finau, which were good bets. Just they didn't go deep enough. They had one round each where you're like, what are you doing on this golf course? And that was enough. I think you're going to run into the same thing this week. Hopefully we're on the right side of variance this week. It all works out. But you do all the research that you can. You do all of the modeling that you can if you do that kind of thing. And then at a certain point, you've just got to put up or shut up. And you either trust what you've produced, I trust it, or you don't. And looking at the winners from the model in the last 14 events, only, what, twice since last June, they've been outside the top six. So Corey Connors is my number two guy. He's a price I can live with. Hopefully that all works out. Hopefully the model continues to work out really strongly. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for your time and for listening. Please consider subscribing if you would like through a podcast service. We are also available on Golf News Net Radio. You can hear us multiple days of the week, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays on the station, and building up with each additional segment of the podcast for the week, talking about initial first picks, then the models, then the final card. It's all available now. Finally, today, as of last night, it launched on iHeartRadio. So you can listen to this show on iHeart either as a podcast or in live, real time with our feed that's available on iHeartRadio. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thank you for listening. Good luck this week, and we will talk to you next time on The Press.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.